Our second speaker is Colleen.
Morning, everybody. Wow, this is really cool. My name is Colleen. I'm a compulsive reader. I have pictures. Just make sure I get them back. You know that fear of losing something that you have? Yeah. Of course, is that there are plenty of pictures of me at my top weight, so it's not like I'd really be losing anything. To qualify, I've been absent since August 4th of 2002, so 5 years, 4 months, something like that. My top weight when I came in these rooms was 307 pounds, so maintaining about 160 pound weight loss. And, one of the many, many things to be grateful for. These are my pants, my size 24 pants that my sponsor told me to hold on to. And the reason that they're not a size 26 is because I wouldn't give in and actually buy a size 26, although I really needed one. But I keep these as a reminder to me that if I'm ever too tired to work my program, these are waiting for me. And the one thing that I noticed about these pants, which is what would happen with all my pants, is that they always wore out in the seams because my legs rubbed together. It's a miracle to me today that that's not where my pants wore out first. I didn't know, growing up, being a fat person all my life, I never knew that that's not where pants wore out. So I'm really grateful that that my pants wore out just because they fade. That's really bizarre. Wow, it's really, really neat to be here this morning. You know, this program has given me a life to be grateful for, a life beyond my wildest dreams, a life so not the one that I was on the path of living. I was thinking this morning about Thanksgiving and all the energy and all the thoughts and, you know, people have issues around Thanksgiving and family and stuff like that. And I've chosen not to be with my family. They live in another state, thank God. You know, they're human beings with lots of foibles and things happened, you know, that shouldn't have happened or whatever. And they're sick in their own way. And but, you know, I was trying to think, well, what was it in particular about Thanksgiving? And I think the thing about Thanksgiving was is that they showed up in their best way because we always had people over. See, so when we had people over, we had to show our best. So for that time when they were there, everybody was wonderful. We were laughing. We were having a great time. And, of course, there was lots of food around. But I remember that sadness when the guests would leave because it was like, okay, that time was over then. But the other thing about it is that, you know, what for me I find that I struggle with is like, what is it? What was that discourse? The reality is that I knew deep in my soul that the way they showed up then was not how they really were. Because if that's how it really was, if it was really honestly that peaceful and that joyous most of the time, I would have not needed to be downing the soda with the, you know, what is it, the maraschino cherries. I'm going to just like pour the sauce in the Coke, you know, really. I wouldn't have needed, you know, that extra slice of pie. I wouldn't have needed to go out back for a third helping it. It wouldn't have been this sense of like that I need something else to numb myself to get through this, you know. So it really wasn't as peaceful or as serene as it looked, you know. But for a long time I bought into that it was, and that the only thing that was wrong was me. You know, because I was the only one who was physically wearing anything that was apparently not fitting in. And so, you know, with that comes all kinds of shame, and of course, more shame means more eating. I don't know about you, but that's usually how it works for me. Shame, guilt, more food works, you know, did work for a long time. And so what program has given me is an opportunity to live with my eyes open and see things and learn to accept things. And, you know, they always say acceptance is the key, and I know I've heard that ever since I walked in these rooms, but acceptance is the key. You know, like, the more I live, the more I get. That's really what it is. And whenever I'm not willing to accept something, you know, I'm fighting it, so I'm not surrendering, or there's something I need to look at where maybe I need to change, whether it's my attitude or my outlook or whatever it happens to be. When I came in these rooms at 307 pounds, I was pretty demoralized. I'd gotten to the point where I didn't actually come in to lose weight. I didn't think that was physically possible. I had spent most of my life being an overweight person. I tried to embrace that. I tried to love that. I did some plus-size modeling in college, and I thought, you know, I had books on living large and loving it. Yeah, I wasn't loving it. You know, I tried. I really tried. But I think there was just this constant discord in my soul that this was not how I was supposed to be, and I couldn't look away from that. And when I came in the rooms, the gift that you guys gave me was that you welcomed me with open arms, and you didn't have any judgment on me. And that to me is absolutely amazing, because I had so much judgment. And that's still a lot of self-judgment. That's, you know, my disease will take me there really, really quickly. But you just welcomed me in. I even remember the third meeting that I went to. These two girls, after the meeting, came up to me in the parking lot, and they're like, "We just want to tell you, we think you're really beautiful." And I was like, "What?" And the tagline wasn't, "You have such a pretty face, if only," right? Because that was the one I got most of my life. And I was like, "Okay, y'all are nuts." I'm like, "Thanks," you know. I mean, I learned how to say thank you, but I was like, "Okay." And, you know, you guys talked about food and things like that in ways that I didn't know other people thought about food or did things with food. And it was such a relief to me to actually hear you share those things. You know, I didn't have binge buddies. I didn't grow up in a family of compulsive overeaters. So I wasn't around people who did the same kind of stuff with food that I did. And so the fact that you guys knew and you understood, it was like, wow. And there was such safety in that for me. And for someone who felt unsafe most of her life, that is an incredible gift. And there is still that feeling whenever I walk into a room of Overeaters Anonymous of like, I'm home. And so, you know, I got a sponsor, and I started working the program, and I established an abstinence that was really, really simple, really easy. It's the same abstinence I have today. And, you know, slowly went to a couple meetings a week, and just kind of had to get comfortable on some level, really, is what it was about. I didn't really lose any weight, but that was okay because I wasn't looking to do that. I noticed for me, after about 6 months of abstinence, my sponsor suggested I stop eating like blatant sugar. And so I did, and I found that my mind was much calmer. And for that reason and that reason alone, I haven't gone back to eating, some people call it recreational sugar. I always think sugar's having a party. But just like, you know, cookies, candies, cakes. And, you know, it's interesting to me. The hardest one for me on that one was regular soda. Because that wasn't eating, and I could be down on that stuff all the time. And that was the one thing my family, I did hear them say once. Because around holiday time, we wouldn't keep soda in the house. But around holiday time, we'd always go out and buy some because, you know, we were having guests over. And I remember overhearing once from the other room, "Don't tell Colleen where the regular soda is." But that was the only ever comment I ever heard anything about. And that was the hardest one for me. And what I came to realize was that peace and ease, that I literally, it was like my head all of a sudden went, and I could hear things, and I could hear myself think, and I began to be able to distinguish some of the insane thinking that was going through my head. You see, I spent all my life eating. Like, people in program talk a lot about how something would happen and they gain 50 pounds. I didn't have to have something happen. I was living. I was eating. And I was eating, and I was eating, and I was eating more. So you don't get to be over 300 pounds because you have a real problem with food. Okay? I got to be over 300 pounds because I couldn't handle life. And the only way I knew how to handle life was to be severely drugged. Lots of sugar, lots of fat, huge quantities. That was my, you know, I didn't need alcohol. Like, alcohol is not an issue for me because the food worked, you know. I needed it to work at a really early age, and it did the trick, you know. And, you know, it's funny, last night I had this dream about, I was out and I decided to have this like ice cream cone or something, and it was layered with something, you know, something I haven't eaten in like years. And the trippy thing was is that in my mind, in the dream, I was fine. There was no reaction to it. Now the reality for me is that if I eat something like that, the head starts spinning. All of a sudden, I can't think clearly. Everyone's irritating me. You're all pissing me off. And you know, da da da. Everybody's out to get me, and all this stuff. So I woke up this morning and went, "Whoa, what was that about?" You know, and it was probably just because I think there's still that part of me that thinks that that's going to fix it, you know, because I'm really uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable with the fact that I'm not spending Thanksgiving with my family. I'm uncomfortable with the fact that my family isn't who I always thought they were. You know, they talk about, I was driving on the freeway and they had like, you know, one of those strip joints. They're like, you don't need beer goggles here, right? So, that, you know, there's that t-shirt of like, you're only attractive when I'm wearing, well, my family is loving and wonderful when I'm wearing food goggles, you know? And, you know, they are who I want them to be when I'm stuffed with food and I'm completely tanked out on sugar. And again, it's not that they aren't loving and wonderful people, but, you know, it's like learning to really see them for who they are and really see myself for who I am. And the ways that I have taken that and created my own life. And what I did was I created situations where I kept people at bay. I mean, it is a mistake that I was carrying over, you know, 160 extra pounds on me, because it was a nice way of saying, back off, don't get near me. But I didn't want to let people in, because if I let people in, then you might have something to say about who I am. And my whole reality was is I was always looking to other people to give me cues as to who I am and whether or not I was okay. And when I didn't measure up, of course, I had to go and eat. When I didn't think I was doing enough to be who you wanted me to be, I had to change more. And that really is what I find today, is that's a lot of where the discord is for me, is when I don't show up as who God wants me to be. Because that's really my only job in life, is to do that. And the only way I know how to do that is by things that you guys have taught me in these programs about making that connection with the higher power. And I can't do that if I'm in the food. I really cannot do that. You know? And so eventually in program, what I found was that I had to get to a point where I was really, you know, letting go of the food. And actually, I don't know how willing I was. My sponsor just said, well, you know, if you want to lose weight, you need to look at your food. Is it weight gaining, weight maintaining, or weight losing? And if I was saying that I wanted to be losing weight, then obviously my food should be weight losing. That only sort of makes logical sense. I mean, I'm not an idiot. You know, although I always thought I did. You know, it was like people used to say to me all the time, well, if you just did this or if you just did that. And I thought, you know, if I could do it, I would. And I don't know why I can't. You know, I was going through and I was organizing some or throwing out a lot of stuff. And I came across some things in my third year. I was a school teacher for 9 years and I had to do student teaching. And oh my God, it was a horrible, horrible time. And I just remember, I mean, like, resentments galore against the state, because after 2 years of teaching, they didn't want to give me the certificate, and I had to do this stupid student teaching assignment with some, you know, cooperating teacher who didn't know what she was doing, and then, you know, all these millions of things about how if they just gave me the credit, just did it my way, And I was in so much pain, and my life was completely unmanageable. And I remember I was at home, and I remember just crying to my father. Like, I don't understand what the problem was. Like, I could not get myself to show up to this job on time. I didn't know why. I could not do it. And, of course, my eating was really out of control. And, you know, never saw the link there. See, that's the funny thing, is that I never made the connection. Never made the connection, really, until I came into these rooms. Like, oh... You know, and like, the only feeling I understood was hungry. I would say, I feel hungry. Did you know hungry is not a feeling? Like, when you look at that list of, like, sadness, hungry is not on there. I didn't know that. That was the only feeling I had, you know? And so what I get to do today, because I'm not eating, is I get to feel anger, I get to feel sadness, I get to feel joy. Sometimes that's just as uncomfortable as sadness. I get to feel overwhelmed. Never liked that one very much. I get to feel excitement. I get to feel nervousness. I mean, a few months ago, I was at my job. They were interviewing me for this other project that they wanted me to do. And I had to go into this interview, and it felt like this was the right thing for me to be doing and all this stuff. And I went out for a walk before, and I realized that my conflict was that I was having is that I felt nervous, and I didn't want to feel nervous. See, because in my head I always think, well, if I've gone through this before and I've felt this before, I shouldn't have to feel this again because I'm uncomfortable with feelings. But the reality is that we feel things all the time, damn it. Well, no wonder I eat all the time, you know, and not constantly fighting having to feel things. You know, in that, just surrendering that, like, oh, I feel something, and it's okay. Because in my head, it was always going to be so overwhelming, and it was going to last way too long, and it was going to be way too intense, and I wasn't going to be able to handle it. So before I even got to that point, I was eating over it, so I never had to feel it. I could just numb out. And, you know, it's amazing to me that not only when I pull the wool from in front of my eyes, and for me that's, you know, lots of sugar, lots of fat, lots of food. The thing is that, yeah, I have to look at the life that I've created for myself, and there are pieces of it that I don't like, and there's pieces of it that I want to change, but I also get to see such beauty. Beauty that I did not even know existed. Like, right in front of my face all the time. You know? And it's... I mean, that's the stuff that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for the fact that this morning when I went for a walk, when I got out there, it was all, like, with fog or whatever it is around here. Marine layer in the valley? I don't know. But by the time that my walk ended, I could see the sun, and it was starting to come out, and it was changing the course of the day, you know. But normally, I would wake up and be pissed off that it wasn't sunny right away, you know. And then that would put me in that funk, and I'd be there the whole day. What a waste. What a waste. And, you know, so the miracle of this program, thank you, is that I have a different way of living. Because my way of living before, not only was it humiliating and depressing and barely really living at all, because it was kind of like living inside a little box, and so as long as I functioned inside this little box, everything was okay. And God help you if you tried to intrude upon my box or tell me that what I was doing inside my box didn't work. You know, because I was a very, very nice person, but, you know, you mess with my food and my claws came out, you know, which is, I'm sure, a big reason why most of the people close to me in my life treaded very, very carefully around that one, you know. And what I found is that by letting go of, you see, because this box is like my version of what the world is and how the world should be, you know. And I know there's that expression about living outside the box or thinking outside the box. But that to me is what program is living outside the box or thinking outside the box. Because program to me is about connecting with that higher power. And that higher power has this whole world, literally. A higher power created the whole world. So why should I settle for living inside a little box? See, because that was the best I could do. That was my best thinking, because it was safe inside that little box. And so today what I get to do is take risks and like put my toe outside and take it back in. But the beauty of it too is that I have you all around me to let me know that it's okay to go outside the box, and that if I do get hurt, that you'll be right there. You know? And as you guys walk through your stuff, I mean, that's amazing to me. When I go into meetings and people share about stuff that's really happening in their lives, things that make them sad or happy or joyous or scared, and they talk about it, and they let it out, and they don't let it, you know, control them or let themselves, like, spin about it in their brain too long, and they let me in. That, to me, is beautiful. Like, you guys let me in, and I get to learn from you all the time. Like, all the things, all your struggles, all your joys, I get to hear about that stuff, and I get to learn, okay, so, like, if something like that happens for me, I can go and talk to you. See, for somebody who always had to have it figured out and had to understand how it worked, and God forbid you tell me that I didn't know how it worked or that I had it wrong, like, that's a huge relief. I don't have to have the answers, but I thought I did. You know? Like, that was another big part of my eating. Well, obviously, I'm stupid because I don't know what I'm doing and I don't have this figured out. And it was always really hard for me to have people, like, show me how to do things, because it was like, but then I'm bad and I'm wrong because I don't already know how to do this. Because people, well, if you just did this, you know? And so to me, that is so much to be grateful for. And the fact that there's, you know, like, I keep reading and I've been going over the sponsee about all these directions they have in the big book. That is so cool. They have all these directions. So if I ever don't know what to do, I just have to go back to the big book and look for the directions. And the directions are always telling me things about love and patience and acceptance, tolerance, kindness, and that, to me, I grew up hearing those things and seeing them, but I didn't really understand how to apply them. I really didn't. I didn't know what love and tolerance really meant in day-to-day application. I didn't know what kindness was. And what you guys have taught me how to do is how to have that for each other, how to have it for myself. And then in doing that, I've been able to take that out into the world. You know, and I no longer think that people are out to get me. You know, and when I do, I know that's my diseased head. You know, because, you know, the universe is abundant and beautiful, and everything is fine. You know, when I stop and look down and see where my feet are, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and I'm perfectly safe, and I'm perfectly okay. And for someone who never felt perfectly safe and never felt okay, that to me is a miracle. And so if that's the only thing I have to be grateful for today, which it's not because there's so much more, then it's a pretty damn good day as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for letting me share.